Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Goldbridge Saves Football podcast. We had a little bit of a break for the FA Cup, but we're back for the Premier League. Lots to talk about. The top five race is hotting up, and we've got return of the Pratt. Not Will, return of Pratt of the week, but how are you, Will?
Yeah, 2 weeks is a long time. John Cena turned heel, shocking the WWE universe. Blues lost the game of football, and you weren't the manager of the YouTube All-Stars, and they did win a game.
I knew he was going to do that. That hurts. But at the end of the day, it's all scripted and it's all for charity. And I'm talking about wrestling. Let's get into it. So look, somebody said literally on the watch along for the United game yesterday that why don't you do Pratt of the Week anymore? I said, well, I actually have got Pratt of the Week contender, and Will might have an alternative, but it's a great way to start the podcast. Jamie Carragher, and I feel sorry for Jamie Carragher because I think actually he does and is one of the better pundits out there. I mean, that's a controversial take for you to listen to, whoever you are. But I just thought that, you know, sometimes I saw the build-up. I mean, Arsenal-Man United used to be a massive game, but circumstances dictate. And I saw all these clips throughout the week of Patrick Vieira and Roy Keane in the tunnel and Rooney, and when they got that penalty at Old Trafford and it ruined their, you know, unbeaten run. I just thought, you know your audience. You don't need to fake it to make it. And the reality is Arsenal aren't going to win the league, and Man United have got a rubbish season and they're not going to do anything with this game. You can't build it up. But then I think Jamie Carragher did fall into that trap, because he then went and come up with this article where he basically said, who's under more pressure, Arteta after 5 years or Amrim after 5 months? And the thing is, what was your reaction to that, Will? Because I'll tell you what, my reaction was, what is he bloody talking about? And then you look at the replies and it really annoyed a load of Arsenal fans and a load of Man United fans. And I just thought, is this not, is it just naivety to try and build something, or is it just that need to always put something onto something that's a bit sensationalist? Because, well, what are your thoughts?
Look, to be fair, a couple of months ago, I'd be writing this down and we'd be doing it as a topic on the podcast. So I don't think it's linked to the game so much. I think, you know, people get taken away with headlines, don't they? People, like with your videos, get taken away with the YouTube titles as well, don't they? But when you actually read the article, there's a bit of depth to it. I actually think with the performance today, it even ties more into that, especially with Mikel Arteta going into a potential sixth season and Arsenal not growing. And Amorim, for me, like this formation and the way this going because of recruitment and everything, that needs to change as well. So if there's a stubbornness there, like this could end quickly as well going forward. So Carragher's had a rough week, but he's not getting a rough ride from me on this one. I actually sort of think there's a bit of merit to the article.
Well, this is good. We like differentials, and I think Carragher is a Pratt. After 5 years, how can Mikel Arteta be under pressure when he's going to take the club to Champions League qualification for the third year in a row? They're going to be in a title race for the third year in a row, and they do not have the resources of a Liverpool or a Manchester City, financial of Man City, but also experience. Liverpool, these players have won titles before. People forget Arsenal haven't won a title for 20 years. They're also not financially as equipped as Manchester City. So I think Arsenal, look, they need a striker. They bloody need a striker. We all know they need a striker, and that has to happen in the summer. But the Arsenal journey is not one of pressure. I think in 12 months' time, maybe you'll have that chat once they've got the striker. But Arsenal are still on a journey. He shouldn't be under pressure. As for Manchester United, I mean, I read in his article, I wrote some of it down. What was he say? The worst United side ever. The bare minimum when you look at Man United is that they should be being coached better than they were before, and they're not. And I'm like, hold on a minute. We've lost 3 games since January the 1st. We're 5 games unbeaten. We should have beat Sociedad. We should have beat Arsenal. Granted, he didn't have that information. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, Ten Hag got the sack. How can Jamie Carragher write an article with his coffee and go, I would expect him to be coaching them better than Ten Hag? Ten Hag got sacked. And Ten Hag built that team with 600 million quid. Ruben Amorim's come in with no preseason, one signing, all of Ten Hag's players, and he's getting better results. I just think we do it, they do it. But that article could have been so much more. It could have been, why are Arsenal not winning titles? Why are Man United 14th in the league? And instead, he chooses to put it on managers. And I think it's lazy. I think Carragher's better than that. As a Liverpoolian who would not stand for the type of ownership that Man United have, he's putting it on managers. And that's where I think Arsenal fans and United fans united on that and sort of like went, lazy, Jamie. It's not managerial. It's there's bigger issues here. And actually, Arsenal's issue, Will, if you're being honest, is on whoever decided not to buy a striker. And Arteta said on February the 1st, I'm frustrated and disappointed.
Yeah, but I think we're living in a bit of a romantic world there. Like, we live in this modern football world where the pressure does mount. And for both of those managers, they're sort of victims of the situation, aren't they? Because with Arteta, he's got them to this position and now it's time to kick on. And Liverpool have superseded them this year, so the pressure will grow. If they whimper to a sort of second... If Manchester City, which I said a couple of weeks ago that they would catch them for second, Paul Merson said it in the studio today, and if that happens, I really think then the pressure will build because it's almost two steps forward, one step back. And then are you going back in that direction? With Amorim, he's building the own pressure himself because he's sticking to this rigid system. And if you look forward to it, how are you going to make that system better? Better players? Well, we've quite clearly seen with Sir Jim that money's not going to be coming in soon. So that system's not going to improve. So for me, that's where the pragmatism needs to come. So I just think they're both sort of victims of their own situation, and they're probably Arteta's one's a bit more out of his hands, like you said with the striker one, but with Amorim, it comes off the back of a 1-1, and like these Arsenal games, Liverpool games, City games tied perfectly into that system. It's like it's when you're playing the shitter teams, isn't it?
Have you been invited on the overlap?
Look, Buzz 16 have been in contact, and I generally think that. The Ruben Amorim is going to create more problems for himself. Russell Martin's on Monday Night Football tomorrow. Ruben Amorim could be the new Russell Martin if he stays sticking to this system.
Look, I know you're not a United fan and maybe you don't listen to absolutely everything Ruben Amorim has said, so it might be a bit unfair for me to sort of start quoting stuff that you haven't heard, but Ruben Amorim has been questioned about his formation and system for months. And what I find frustrating about it is that he's always said, my 3-4-3 is the system I will play, but my system is changeable. And as we saw against Arsenal, that was a 5-4-1 counterattack. We had 32% possession. Against Sociedad, it was more of a 3-4-3, 50-50 possession. So the system changes dependent on the opposition. I truly believe that if he's given players that suit that system better, we will get better. But this is survival football.
You ain't going to get that, are you?
Well, this is a great point. This is why people are protesting, because the club's in turmoil. And I would take that back to the owners and say, look, if I'm Stoke City, what's the point in getting Pep Guardiola in and then saying, you got no money? It's counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know more than me. The owners are just, whether it's the Glazers or Sir Jim's the complete opposite with everything that he's doing with the cuts and everything like that. And we know the Glazers aren't bothered. So the protests today are great, but they need to be continuous. You're not playing for anything in the league. I'd be absolutely balls to the walls with those protests every week, making a bit of noise in terms of because obviously from an outside perspective, so all the stuff on social media before the game, fantastic. You obviously through Sky, you are going to be restricted what you see inside the stadium. But I just feel like this needs to be the start rather than, because I've seen this before and it was a long time ago. So, especially today's result and today's performance can't sort of put the protest on the back burner. It really needs to be that bench is a positive and a negative in terms of great to see academy players in, but
It's really difficult on the protest because I didn't actually mention this on the United Stand. It's a bit of a podcast exclusive, but we obviously had these protests and we've been in this situation before. And I think I'll give my honest view. I think the people who are doing the protests are amazing. Obviously, I'm not at the protests and, I think it's brilliant what they do and they organise. But if I'm being completely honest, the only time the Glazers ever took any notice was when that Liverpool game got called off. And I think that people don't want to take it that far because then you get classed as a hooligan or anything like that. So they want to do a peaceful protest. But Sir Jim Ratcliffe sat there 15 minutes into the game laughing with the CEO. There's just been thousands of people outside saying, get Ineos and the Glazers out. And he sat in the stadium with those people. And he's laughing. So ultimately, that's nothing against Sir Jim Ratcliffe or the protest, but it's just, it's not, he's not under any pressure by thousands of people saying, yeah, get the Glazers out, because people have done that for 20 years. So it's a step in the right direction, and it's amazing. But I think every United fan knows deep down it's not going to make any difference. And when the owner sat there laughing, not at the protest, but he's just relaxed, you're like, there's thousands of people who've just been protesting for 2 hours outside the ground, and he's 20 minutes into the game having a laugh with the CEO. He's not interested, is he? He's not under any pressure.
But, and I think with the Glazers, though, like, you need to attack them where it hurts. And that doesn't mean kicking them in the bollocks. It means finding those bits where you can, you know, really sort of start to jeopardise different financial interests. With Blues, we had the same sort of, you know, protest doing everything for ages. And it wasn't until, like, there was a few really key people in sort of attacking, it was down to who had actually signed the fit and proper test, I think. I'll probably get it wrong. But then that sparked ownership, stock test, everything like that. And it just led on to other things. So protests are great. They raise awareness. But I think you have to, you know, be a bit calculated, be a bit smart. And the only way the Glazers are going to be really concerned is if their purse strings start to be attacked, wouldn't it? What was the crowd today? 72,000, 73,000?
Yeah, it was a sellout.
And I'm not saying, and it's hard, isn't it? You know, like, yeah, I'm not saying boycott it, because it's, you know, I'm lucky to go to games. You've been lucky to go there. Like, some people could be, you know, their dream game and everything like that. But
what I find, you know, and we do get comments on the podcast, and maybe Niall, the producer, will clip it up. I don't know, but it might not be that relevant. But what I do find, and I have said a few times over the last few weeks, and it might be the same at Birmingham, it might be the same at Villa, it might be the same at other clubs, but I know for a fact that you've got thousands of people giving up their time before a game to protest. Some people weren't even going to the game. I know lots of people who just went up to Manchester to protest. They weren't going to the game at all. And it's demoralizing to see the Glazers not even there. Sir Jim laughing with his CEO. They're not ruffled. They're not under pressure. So it makes people think, well, the protest really isn't going to make any difference. But that shouldn't be a surprise, because there's been protests in the past and they still don't take any notice. They disrespect Man United fans. But I've said this a few times. I absolutely am convinced that if the Glazers were running Liverpool Football Club, they'd have been gone years ago. And I don't understand because the rivalry between Man United and Liverpool is real. It's respected. It's proper. But there's something about the Liverpool fan base that wouldn't put up with this. But then there's something about the Man United fan base that does. Explain that one to me, because amazing histories, amazingly large worldwide fan bases, very close cities, very similar cities historically. And yet one fan base seems unable to get the Glazers out. But I'm pretty sure Liverpool probably would. And I don't understand that.
But United have been there before, haven't they? You know, when it was rumoured that your man at Sky was going to be taking over in Manchester United back in the day. Rupert Murdoch, wasn't it? And the protests that were organised around that. And ultimately, Man United fans managed to stop that. I just think with the Glazers, it's like the roots are too deep into the club now, aren't they, in terms of what they've done and the damage they have done. And also their lack of empathy and their real arrogance around, you know, not attending, not really caring. It is a business. The way they bought it just shows you that as well. So I just think, whereas Liverpool have probably, I get your point, but I just think it's more that the Glazers' roots are so deep into that club and what it is and what they're actually after. It's going to be really hard. And that's why you have to attack their sort of other financial interests. You have to really go a bit, I mean, not to go punk IPA, James Watt, whatever his name is, but you have to go a bit out there and do things different. So, but then do you not get worried that, like, if you get the Glazers out and then Sir Jim's there, like, I mean, he's not exactly been pulling up trees himself, has he? Like,
no.
He really scares me. That classic sort of, he's made it in one profession, come in on the other, and it's just like, right, we'll do this in football. And it hasn't worked.
I just don't think it. I think ultimately, let's bring it back to the football. From a footballing point of view, Man United don't look like they've got much of an idea of what they're doing. And we go back to Amorim, and Amorim, I think, is a good appointment for Manchester City in the summer if Pep goes. I understand why they were linked to him.
That feels ages ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think for Manchester United, it's a terrible appointment if you're not going to spend £500-600 million giving him players for his system. I mean, you're not going to play like Sporting Lisbon with Victor Lindelof, Christian Eriksen, Casemiro, and everybody else. But look, it's for Man United, definitely better on Thursday, definitely better against Arsenal. In many ways, I think we should have won both games, and our season all comes down to Thursday. I can't imagine what happens if we get knocked out on Thursday, that you're in the middle of March, still 2.5 months left of the season, and there is nothing to play for. So everything on Thursday. But the same for Arsenal, I suppose. Champions League now, that's it. Or maybe not second place.
Yeah, I got two Pratt of the week, actually, if you're starting with Jamie Carragher, Declan Rice and Rasmus Højlund. I'll start with Declan Rice doing that celebration to this Manchester United side.
What did he do?
He scored his goal.
Yeah.
Classic celebration 1-1 is don't do anything, get the ball, go over. He went over to the United fans, was shushing them. I think it was Martinelli had to go over to pull him back, to get him back to the halfway line. I was just like, that is one of the leaders of the dressing room, and you are doing that at 1-1 again. Like you said, this isn't Keane and Vieira. This is essentially Manchester City versus Burnley on form. And he has done that, and I'm just like, have a bit of perspective. He makes
this
a
is a player I know that was interested in coming to Man United. I mean,
well,
he's always...
There's
even interviews of him saying, I love Old Trafford and this, that and the other. And I know for a fact he was interested in coming to Man United. Not that Arsenal wasn't where he wanted to go, but I don't get it. Maybe he was getting a bit of stick in the, from the crowd.
I think it's fine. But if that's the winner, that's great. But like 1-1, and it was late on as well. So that is delaying time. And then Højlund. Good God almighty.
Got nothing else, mate. Nothing else.
Jay Stansfield's better than Rasmus Højlund, and that's
well.
Fact.
Can he come and play on Thursday then?
Well, I don't think it works like that. It's not.
No, I mean, I think it's a problem, and I think it needs solving for the summer. But you got so many United fans like last night after the game, just going, "Oh, this, that, and the other." And I'm like, we have got a massive game on Thursday. We've got nobody else, and we just got to hope. We just got to hope something happens, haven't we?
The other lad can't play, can he, on Thursday?
No, we didn't register him. Which is incredible. But I'm just looking at the league table. Arsenal have got a game in hand, but they are 15 points behind Liverpool. I mean, that's been over for a long time. They might want to have a little look behind them because they've got a game against Chelsea next week. They're 6 points ahead of Chelsea. If that went wrong, 3 points ahead of Chelsea, and there's still 9 games to go. So, I mean, I'm of a mindset, Will, where once the title's gone, I just can't get into the mindset of, oh, let's fight for second over third. They're going to finish in the top four. That's all that's what matters. But look, if I'm an Arsenal fan and somebody says you can win the Champions League and finish fourth, or you can get knocked out of the Champions League and finish second, I'm going to win the Champions League. And I think that's got to be their focus now. Amazing result against PSV, but probably Real Madrid in the quarterfinals. I just think anything's possible in the cup. We've seen Mourinho grind it, but I think that lack of firepower is going to be a huge issue for them.
Yeah, it feels mad saying that, doesn't it? But like, we look at the games previously in the Premier League and we've said that's been an issue. And I just feel if they were to face Real Madrid, no matter, even if they did have that striker, the mentality of that Real Madrid side for years has just been so much superior than anybody else, especially in those knockout games. And, you know, there was even question marks going into the game that they've just played and they've still got to get through. But you just feel that there's another level that they get to. So on a positive side for Arsenal, if they did play Real Madrid, maybe like sitting back, being a bit more defensive and playing on the counter might work. But if you're trying to use Mourinho to hold up the ball and... we've said it till the cows come home, but like, it's absolutely mental that they've not signed a striker.
I think
United one. Get bloody. Think of all the strikers you've had on 6 month loans in January. It's like inevitable at some point that Agallo would come or Vegas or Ibrahimovic. Just get a 6 month loan to have. You know, you'd win today's game easy. You'd win so many more games that they would have lost or drew.
Yeah, look at Villa. Malin doesn't even play that much. Didn't even reg. I mean, I still find that incredible, by the way, that Villa bought Malin, loaned Asensio and Rashford, and then didn't put Malin in the Champions League squad and put Rashford and Asensio in. I mean, is that evidence of a player being bought by the club and not by the manager? I just don't get that. But Arsenal with Malin, they'd bite your hand off, but they didn't do it.
Who do you think will go in the Champions League? Who do you think will go furthest out of the English clubs?
Liverpool aren't definitely through yet, you know. The way they're playing at the moment, PSG, I mean, look, I would expect the Anfield crowd to get that done.
Tough place to go on a Champions League night, Anfield.
Then they'll play Villa, probably. Second leg at Anfield, yeah. So Liverpool are into the semis. Yeah, Liverpool, Arsenal. Arsenal won't beat Real Madrid. I'll tell you what, though, if they did, Liverpool-Arsenal semi-final, I'd love to go back to the old Chelsea-Liverpool semis of the past.
That's what we used to get those so much, didn't we? Chelsea-Arsenal back in the day, one of Ranieri's last games, I think. Feels like we've not had that. But yeah, but then that ties into, any more for any more before we move on Man United-Arsenal?
There was something I was going to say about Arsenal, which I've completely forgot. Yes, I think the big problem with Arsenal is, obviously it's the striking thing, but they've scored one goal in three Premier League games. Yeah, they scored seven against Eindhoven, but their defending was terrible. And obviously there was an early goal in that game. And once you've scored, it can open it up. I think, unfortunately for Arsenal, West Ham, Man United and Forest have figured out how to stop them scoring. So I definitely think the likes of Real Madrid and everybody else will do as well. And Arsenal have hamstrung themselves, haven't they? A bloody kitten would say Arsenal have got a striking option. It's not a high intensity footballing opinion, is it? But they have to try and solve that. And I think that's going to be not solved until the summer, clearly. So, yeah, I think Arsenal.
Like Sterling, isn't it? What's Sterling done wrong to not even get on?
Oh, I don't know. He needs studying, doesn't he? He really does need studying.
You think in that sort of opportunity, just a little bit in behind would be better, but I don't know. Hey, that's why I'm sat here in my bedroom at 7 o'clock on a Sunday, not playing Premier League football.
Exactly. But I think Arsenal get the striker in the summer and then we can judge him next year. And then I think if it goes wrong next year, then the pressure will be on. But I think, well, I mean, look at the top four, five race. I mean, talk about, we're sort of getting a bit down about Arsenal and Man United, but the top five race for me, I still believe this is arguably one of the best Premier League seasons we've ever had, but Liverpool are going to win the league by a trot or a canter, and Ipswich and Leicester seem to have forgotten they're in a relegation battle and seem to be, well, I was looking at Leicester, they've won one in six, they've lost five in six, and Ipswich have lost five in six and drawn one. I mean, it's just terrible. And Wolves are sort of like, hey, you know, just gradually drawing here and there and open. I mean, they're gone. But the race for top five is intense. You've got Forest beating Man City, 51 points. And then you've got Ipswich in sixth. Sorry, not Ipswich. They'd love to be in sixth. Brighton, 46 points. But actually, it's more than that, isn't it? You've got, would you dare to put Fulham in there? Newcastle in ninth, 44 points. Chelsea in fourth, 49 points. I mean, it's all on. That late equaliser for Spurs was really big for Bournemouth, and I think they should have won that game. That would have put them even closer up. Brighton and Villa winning. Forest winning. Chelsea winning. Man City losing. It's incredibly tight.
Yeah, look, it's exciting. Firstly, you owe a massive apology to Brighton. You said that they should be up there. They've won four in a row, and they're up there. They're pushing Champions League football. Looks like we're going to get a top five, so that makes it even more exciting.
Is Villa, it an apology, or is it I told you so?
No, it's a real apology because somebody
I told you that this is where you should be and now you are. Thank me later.
Yeah, good. You should work in PR. That's a lovely bit of spin. Villa for me, question mark, just because I hate them. And secondly, because...
That's a good result at Brentford though. Whoa.
Tough place to go, Brentford, isn't it? No, obviously just that Champions League sort of form, but maybe they're maturing into the season. Bournemouth, I just watched the highlights back to them. Jesus, like some of the football that they're playing. Do you see the disallowed goal they had? It was absolutely unbelievable. It could be one of the goals of the season.
Was it a legitimate goal to disallow?
Yeah, it was offside. Yeah. Oh. It was like miles off, but it was a good goal. So Man City for me will start going through the gears, could even overtake Arsenal. Just
their next game's Brighton though. At the Etihad.
Wow. But let's start with Forest because that win against Manchester City,
deserved
4 points clear of Manchester City now with 10 games left. I mean, if that's not the beauty of football, if that's football for me, because they just played really well. I thought, you know, City had a few chances. Would you think it was a red card for Elliot Anderson? The one on Foden?
I think it could have been. I've seen a few of those this weekend where it could have been. What game was I watching when I went, oh, that could have been a red? I think there
YouTube
was that
All
one.
Stars?
There was another one. But anyway, it matters not. I think we've spoken about Man City so many times. Is it Rodri? Is it Pep? Is it the 115? Does it matter? They're shit. They are really bad. And I think what happened at the weekend is that I've been saying, and maybe you've been saying it as well, I expected Forest to drop down the league. Mm. And I expected Man City to hit the gear. Not the coke or anything like that.
Wow, yeah.
But hit a higher gear. But what I watched it on Saturday and I was like, Forest don't look like they're going to concede. Man City don't look like they're going to score. Looks like it's going to be a draw. Forest had two good chances, both Hudson-Odoi.
That save from Edison was unbelievable.
World class. And then he makes a mistake on the second one. But Forest deserved to win it. Man City deserved to lose it. And I think that's the surprising thing for me. Got to give respect to Forest. I can't believe.
Big respect, guys.
Yeah, I can't believe they're staying up there. But they're doing it.
That accent could have been. Hey, you just saved yourself there.
Why? Where do you think it was going?
That was going down a few continents, that one. But you brought it back really well with a bit of haggis and...
It was always North Ireland. It was always meant to be Scottish.
Northern Irish. To believe me. Forest next two games in the league, Ipswich away, Man United at home. 6 points guaranteed.
Well, Forest fans are going to be screaming at me here because I've always said they're going to drop out of the top four. Shall I say what I think now? I'll say they're going to drop out of the top four. I actually am starting to think they might get top four. And I think that's really exciting because I'd love to see. I know people say, oh, you don't want to see, I don't know, Swindon in the Premier League because they'll get, like we saw with Luton. You don't want to see them in the Premier League. They'll get relegated straight away. But I think this is a bit different. I think if it's not the same as getting promoted into the Prem, because everyone expects them to go back down. If you put a Forest or a Bournemouth in the Champions League, I'd actually find that quite exciting. I'd be like, ooh, I wonder what they can do against Juventus and people like that. And
Bournemouth will be the first one going, what has happened to our Champions League? These teams are 10,000 people at the Bournemouth Stadium for a Champions League game. That'll be the podcast.
But I think the style of Bournemouth would be quite interesting in Europe. But I also think watching the Forest game, and I'll hold my hands up, Forest, I've not watched much of, and they're not a great watch. But I think the way they play would actually be quite Italian. And also, they've got a very ambitious owner. So if they got... I mean, I saw something the other day that Liverpool have earned 90 million quid already from the Champions League.
What, this season?
Yeah. You get 80 just for being in the bloody group stage, apparently. So that money for someone like Forrest, they wouldn't be expecting that type of a revenue boost, and I'm pretty sure their owner would spend it. But I think I'm not gonna jinx them. It's not fair, but I think they're getting to the point where they actually might just do it. I think Man City will do it. Very What's that four? So there's one more, and I think Chelsea will do it as well.
Mark, if it's all right for you, I'd like to hear from our halftime sponsors. I don't think Chelsea will do it, but then I don't know. I don't think Brighton will do it. Newcastle, for me, it all hinges on this Carabao Cup final. Like, I think that's such a massive thing for them because of the hangover of not winning a trophy and trying to win that.
Well, they've got that bad. They've got a big game tonight, haven't they? Monday night football.
Yeah.
West Ham, which is, again, Izak's injured again. Is he back?
He's back. Well, he's not flashing yellow or orange on my fantasy. So if he bloody doesn't play, I'll be absolutely disgusted.
I think Chelsea will do it. I do. I mean, I'm a little.
I just feel like the last two games have been against Southampton and Leicester, haven't they?
They got Arsenal, Tottenham, and Brentford next three games. So three London derbies.
We've had it before this season where we've picked out teams that are just starting to sort of like trend a little bit badly. You know, Manchester City had it before they started to go on their losing streak, and like they beat Southampton 4-0. I forgot about that. But that's Southampton. I mean, me and you could.
Well, then it'd be Leicester 1-0, didn't they? I mean, it's not.
Yeah, I just feel that they're starting to. Cole Palmer is obviously the talisman, missing his first penalty ever. I think it was. They're not trending in the right direction. If this was the Championship, you'd be like, "Oh, who's that team that's going to get sixth or fifth in the playoff and really start kicking up a fuss?" And Brighton, obviously, your informed team. Villa, Champions League is going to be one. But yeah, some of the stuff Bournemouth are playing and Newcastle, it's exciting. Like, and also, people will go, the league title's gone and winning the Premier League is absolutely unbelievable. But for one of those sides, like a Forest, Brighton or Bournemouth to get into the Champions League, it actually is life-changing. And I don't want to go full, you know, Netflix documentary, but like, I just think if one of those sides could do it, I think that would be the story of the season.
Yeah, I think, well, Villa have got a game more than everybody else. Brilliant result against Brentford, but I think their next game after the international break is, I don't think Villa play now. Are they in the cup? No,
that's after the season.
It's after the international break. I don't think Villa play now until after the international break. Yeah, oh no, they've got a Champions League game, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they got the second leg of Champions League. Then,
but they're not playing at the weekend because of the Carabao Cup. They've played that game in hand already, haven't they?
They got Preston.
Yeah, I think Villa have left themselves too much to do.
It's tight though, isn't it? Like position-wise, yeah. But like Man City in fifth, which will be Champions League, is 3 points.
They'll do.
No,
it.
2 points.
If Man City don't get top five, looking at, I know Forest deserve to beat them, but they bought De Bruyne, Kovacic and Mamouche off the bench and they still had Gundogan on there. If they don't get top five, Pep should be sacked.
Yeah, well, yeah, agreed. This Thomas Tuchel squad's coming out, which I know you love a bit of a March international break, but just on a Forest one, Morgan Gibbs-White, I know he's sort of, has he played for England so far? I think he has, but some of the, I'd like to see him given a chance in the friendlies just to sort of see what he can do.
I liked the appointment of Tuchel, but I think this is where it starts to get real, isn't it? England managers, it's a tough gig and you just wonder what he's... I mean, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, would Rashford get picked? And I don't think he should, but he might. I don't think he's done that well for Villa. He's done okay, but but if Tuchel likes him... Some, like Southgate, chose to be a club manager at national level, didn't he? He said he was about form and then he stopped being about form and he would pick players that weren't being picked. And be interesting to see how Tuchel does it, because there's nothing wrong with being like that. You've just got to be up front. If he's going to go, I like this player, I know he's not playing particularly well, but I like this player, which is what Southgate did, then it'll be interesting. Or is he going to go, no, I'm genuinely looking at English players that are in form and you've got to be playing for your club. So it'll be very interesting. I presume we'll play three at the back as well. So I think that's going to be good for you if you're a centre-back and a wide player. But lots of players pick themselves. But when is that out? This week? Must be.
I think the squad's out this week, yeah. You can just feel it sort of building a little bit in the media as well. Like there was those articles about all the games he missed. It was a bit...
Oh, they're not going to take to Tuchel, are they?
No. I went to watch... you'd like this, actually. I went to watch Fawlty Towers live the other week and it feels like it's going to get a bit like that.
Well, I mean, I see it with United a lot. The foreign players always get treated worse than the English players. So when you've got a foreign manager, I mean, I'm old enough to remember Capello. Capello's not that long ago, but Ericsson.
Oh, I remember Capello.
Ericsson.
If you said Alf Ramsey, I'd have been a bit more impressed.
And he was English. But Ericsson. Also, Tuchel being German, I think that's going to be a problem for some people, which not
Isn't
for
it
me.
Mad that like Sven Goran Eriksson was a shagger?
Yeah.
That's just like with that haircut as well.
He must have been a good one as well, because those women looked like they were handy.
Yeah, but like, how do you...
What was it, Nelly Furtado he was with? No. She had a name. She had a funny name.
Ulrika Johnson.
No, I know that one, but what was the Italian one? Italian job. Yeah. Well, that's bad.
Not Nelly Furtado, but like, how do you, with that haircut, how do you portray that you're like, maybe it's just the confidence. Like maybe they go...
Swedish, isn't he?
Yeah, maybe they go, just look at the state of his hair and he's got confidence. Then, you know, there must be something going on.
I'm thinking what Nancy.
Nancy. She definitely did a stint, Celebrity Big Brother.
But that was a bit silly, wasn't it? Because, I mean, I suppose it might still be the same now. But, I mean, your job is to win trophies with England. What he's doing, Nancy Dell'Aglio, that was it.
Lawrence's wife.
Yeah, and also, I mean, he's dead now, but how old was he when he died?
He was in his 60s, I think.
76.
Oh, he was 76?
Yeah, well, Ulrika Johnson is 20 years younger than him.
I thought you were going to go, Ulrika Johnson is 20.
20 years the difference. And that Nancy girl, woman, 62.
Wow.
So he was probably riding 20, 25 years ago. He was 50. Ulrika was 30.
Wow.
Cash back. Anyway, talking about newspapers, actually, I mean, obviously that was all in the papers. I saw a very interesting thing, actually. Very rare to see this. I thought I'll mention this to Will because he loves Jack Grealish and Villa. So Darren Lewis was on Sky on something at the weekend, and I saw this clip, and he was basically saying, and I've got to say, I have noticed it, and I'm always very dubious when it's the Daily Mail talking about footballers' private lives, because I've seen it with Raheem Sterling before, where Raheem Sterling buys massive house and car, and you're like...
An eight plate.
Yeah. Well, he's loaded, so... What's your problem? Is it because he's black? You know, it was, yeah. So I'm always very dubious about these sort of things. But Darren Lewis was saying double standards. We've seen, and I don't know whether it's, you can get locked in an algorithm, Darren. So let's just be wary that I have seen two or three Grealish. I saw one where he's in a social club having a pint.
Yeah, that was the recent one, wasn't it? Yeah.
But I don't know. You never know how old they are.
The bingo.
Yeah. But he was having a pint, wasn't he?
Look, I think it ties into the conversation we were having the other week, and one of my mates who listened, he was saying there's so many of those players of like, well, I think we were speaking about Grealish and Madison, but there's so many players that have just got wasted potential,
yeah.
And this new generation wouldn't do it. Like we said with the other stuff, like with Madison doing the celebration, like you wouldn't see Bellingham doing that, and like you wouldn't see Jude Bellingham or Trent Alexander-Arnold in a social club, you know. And there's two sides to it. Like, people are right, maybe people are right, should be applauded. I actually think at that level, I don't think it should be.
No.
Like, it's not like he's on a 6 month cruciate ligament injury and he's got time to be doing it. Like, everything matters at this level, doesn't it? And you speak about the 1% with your good mate Dave Brailsford. Like, I don't think that's a positive, is it? Like, that's not enhancing your career going out there like that. And obviously with the media treatment, because he gets that sort of Gaza angle, there probably is more sympathy to it as to him as well. So, yeah, I've just always thought that there's something that's missing with Grealish where, like, yeah, he has to do these things.
Well, Darren Lewis was basically saying it's double standards because you see Grealish sort of in a social club or stumbling out of a club all in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, if that was Marcus Rashford, it would be treated differently. And he makes a valid point. And I think the thing is it because Marcus Rashford is a Manchester United player or is it because he's black? And that's the debate. Because I know if Marcus Rashford was sat in a social club having a pint, it would be crime of the century in relation to, you know, they'd pile in on him. Now, I think that's a social question that we probably can't answer, but everybody who's listened to the podcast can. But I think, you know, it's very rare for me to see something in the mainstream and go, what a great point, but it doesn't mean it can't be made. And he's absolutely right. Because when I look at the replies to the Grealish stuff, it's awash with, go on, lad. He's just enjoying himself, you know, this, that, and the other. But if it was Rashford, I think it would be completely different. So that's a social question. I mean, that's for each individual.
Well. Yeah, and I agree as well, because it also goes the other way, because Grealish has been, look how Rashford got built up as sort of the people's champion when he was, you know, rightfully highlighting and doing all he could for those social issues. And when it goes badly, he sort of gets dumped and, you know, is the worst thing ever. Grealish has been built up as this, you know, man of the people, people's champion, but he's not having the same... fall off reaction that Rashford has had as well, isn't it? So I do think that there is an element of that ties in, like biased or unbiased, I think.
I mean, look, we can't answer everything, and I think Darren Lewis is right. Why he's right is interesting as well, but they would be treated completely differently by the press, and that was his point. But
yeah,
I think with Grealish, I actually agree with you. I think that the thing that I remember, like, TFI Friday with Chris Evans years ago, and before the 98 World Cup, he was good mates with Gazza, and Gazza was always out on the piss, and they did this sort of skit where it was like, the World Cup is in 4 weeks, we're putting Gazza in a box for 4 weeks, and he was there walking into the box with a pint and a cigarette, and they took him off him and they closed the box.
That's like Father Jack.
And it's like, but that genuinely happened, and certain people of a certain age would remember that. And you think that's 4 weeks out from a major. I mean, he didn't actually get, he got booted in the the camp, and everyone was like, "Oh my God, what's Hoddle doing?" But Hoddle was probably quite ahead of his time in relation to what you need to do. You know, Wenger obviously brought it all in anyway. But I think you're right about Grealish, though. I mean, I thought he was injured. And then I was like, if you're injured and you're having a few pints, maybe you've got permission to do it. But he was on the bench yesterday and he's having a pint down a social club. And I'm like, I actually foolishly then was under the impression that you don't have a drink during the season. Like, because I know I had a couple of glasses of red wine the other day. I felt it the next day. So, you know, even a pint can. So I'm like, if you're an elite professional footballer, those things are going to have an impact. But it's a lot like Gazza, like you say, some people just look at it and go, go on, lad, you know, he's Jack the Lad, this, that, and the other. And I think, you know, I do wonder what Pep Guardiola thinks. I mean, I know he's got a lot on his plate at the moment, but I wouldn't imagine Pep Guardiola is the sort of manager that goes, yeah, go and have a few pints.
Yeah, it's not like a Harry.
But he's
Redknapp
not part of the plans anyway, is he? I mean, he's not relying on.
This is
Grealish.
£100 million player that, like, for me, should be the sort of at one time build the side around him from an England perspective, where you could maybe drop him in the middle when he was, you know, when he had that freedom at Aston Villa.
And I loved him at Villa. I know you didn't, but I
well, yeah,
loved
no,
him
but
at
I
Villa.
Respected him at Villa because
I wanted him in the England team. Thought he was an amazing player.
You know, but that, you know, and get involved in the comments as well, because there's so many of them that are those players that could have just kicked on. Like, we've mentioned Madison and Grealish, but there's so many over the years.
Sterling,
that,
Rashford.
Yeah, it just comes from, from the majority of them, I think it comes from an attitude point. And I think in this modern game where everything is picked apart from recovery down to warm, you know, everything is a 1%, isn't it? Like, those things do not help Jack Grealish going forward.
You can knock Harry Kane a lot, but there aren't many players, England players, who are into their 30s playing at the highest level across the last 20 years. You look at Michael Owen, you look at Wayne Rooney. We've just mentioned people like Maddison and Rashford and Grealish, all heading towards their mid to late 20s. There's something about England. Look, the media has a part to play in that, but too much
too soon. But Kane's boring, isn't it? And like that's works for him.
Yeah. No, Harry Kane suits where he is at Bayern Munich. I mean, I know he was a Spurs player for ages, but he actually, obviously, he's got a settled life. Whatever he's doing, it works, doesn't it? And he's scoring goals at the highest level. Fair play to him. But it's always English players. It's very rarely foreign players. And it's obviously,
I don't know, though. They're definitely, like, we're just not a part of it, isn't it? And I was speaking about this a bit about Bellingham to my mate the other day of, like, I think I've mentioned it before, but I'm so glad that he is in Spain, because obviously at Real Madrid, he'll be in a spotlight and still get booted. But just because he's not Spanish, I don't think it'll affect him as much. But like, if he was over here and playing, you know, for Arsenal today and they drew 1-1, Bellingham, stinker, what is it? Like, just the pylon's massive. So there's definitely ones that we'd have missed. You know, maybe from a Brazilian perspective, like I saw Neymar got recalled back up for the Brazilian squad for the first time in 18 months. And, you know, he has had better, obviously a lot more success than a Grealish. How many Champions League did Neymar win? Is Neymar better than Grealish? But yeah, I think there's definitely one to those abroad.
Is Neymar better than Grealish?
You can tell Liverpool have won the league.
Yeah, we don't need to go down that route. I mean, look, I think it was a worthy conversation, and I just think that it was well worth bringing in, because I thought Darren Lewis has actually made a very good point.
It was good.
But look, Grealish probably won't be in the Tuchel squad, will he? And £100 million player, that's a joke.
And Harry Kane will be probably captain in England to a World Cup in 2026 at, what, 35?
I'm not going to disrespect Harry Kane, but I still think it stands what we saw in the Euros. Dropping into a midfield that's got too many attacking midfielders, I think he needs to play on the last man more, but I don't watch enough Bayern to know how they use him. But just stay in the box, stay on the last man.
Who's actually the most informed England player at the moment? It doesn't feel. I mean, Kane's doing well for Bayern, Bellingham.
Not many standout centre-backs. I mean, I thought Tyrone Mings looked good against Brentford last night.
Mark.
I know, but I thought he did look quite good.
Mark, please.
Stones is terrible. I mean, Guehi at Palace, I can't really say that I watched them enough.
He needs to get the move.
Have we got a left back? Lewis Hall's out for the season now.
No, Luke Shaw just plays for England. You've got to remember that. He doesn't play for Man United.
I mean, that's a blow for Newcastle as well, isn't it? We talk about no Anthony Gordon, Lewis Hall's been brilliant, and that's a big blow for them.
Yeah, I think that's just sort of really swung. I mean, it was already in Liverpool's favour, wasn't it, going into the game next week, but that really swings it more into their favour, which...
Declan Rice is doing well.
Declan Rice is doing well. Well, he's not shushing the Old Trafford crowd. What else did I have down here? Yeah, Russell Martin on Monday Night Football. I'm going to be watching that intently tomorrow. I can't wait for him to explain this.
You're just going to be sat there tutting all the time going, what?
Mate, no, you know what I'm like? I'm easily won. So you'll probably just say two or three things and it'll win me round.
You'll be on the podcast next week. Can I just shock you? I used to slag Russell Martin off every week. I actually quite like him now.
Get him another job back.
But he's doing exactly what you thought though, isn't it? You know, and I know they do it a lot on Monday Night Football because they did it with Potter, but he will be putting himself in the shop window. And I'd say, if I was Carragher, I'd say, stop putting yourself in the shop window. You did that for 6 months before you got the sack. Yeah.
They're always on your case, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've heard some, but it's like Rooney, isn't it? Like, I've heard some more stories about Rooney over the couple of weeks of what, like when he was at Blues.
He's surely not going to go back into Man. He got a job, but he can't go. Do you think he'll go for another manager's job, Rooney?
He can't. He's got to be a first team coach. Like, and have that as your football. What you need to get out of the game to be part of the dressing room and part of that. Like, I've heard so many absolute horror stories about him as a manager. Like, it's untenable for him to be a manager going elsewhere, and it makes it more frustrating. The arrogance, like we saw after. You know, when he goes on to a stick to football and talks about the resources he's had and not being given a fair chance. No, you're in control of your own destiny and you blew it. So I've got no respect for him as a manager.
I've just heard he's going to be the new Preston manager.
But that's the thing, like owners get sort of manipulated into it, isn't it? And we've seen it with like, I wonder where Gerrard's going to end up next because he's left Saudi Arabia. But on a flip side to it, and one manager that I probably have criticised and someone will dig up the clip, but Frank Lampard is absolutely on a tear at Coventry. I think 8 wins in 9 or 9 wins in 10. They're up into the playoffs.
Or were Coventry just underperforming? Because they did get to the playoffs last year, got rid of Mark Robbins, but there was a good squad there. I'd admit as well, I don't rate Lampard as a coach, but obviously he's doing better than I thought he would.
Yeah, and I think the turnaround in that and... Like, I think the proof in the pudding for that is when this run stops and then can they go again, isn't it? So it's going to be interesting because I've got an eye on the Championship for next season. But the top three now, Leeds just lost to Portsmouth. And if they bottle it, Sheffield United and Burnley coming up to the Premier League, you know I like to keep a relegation race going, but you might as well write those off already.
Sheffield United and...
Burnley.
Yeah.
If Leeds bottle it.
Leeds are the only ones who've really got a chance.
Yeah.
I said to you, I think if Blues do a double dip or Wrexham in the next few years, maybe because of the ambitions of the clubs, that's the only way you're staying up. You're not going to... You're dealing with clubs that have got international players like Brentford and Wolves and Everton. It's so hard to stay up now. And the longer those clubs stay up, the more money they have.
Yeah. Should we do any other Bridgeness?
Yeah, have you got any other Bridgeness?
Well, I just wanted to get, because I've actually not spoke to you since the shocking turn of events at the Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, sorry, and just wanted to know what Seb's thoughts were when he saw John Cena being kicking Cody Rhodes in the sack.
Yeah, we haven't watched it since, actually, because we've been...
you were that busy. Disgusted?
No, he really did enjoy it, and I feel he's going through the trauma I went through as a kid, because when he didn't win the Royal Rumble, he was really devastated, and now he's turned heel. I don't think he can get his head around that either. So welcome to World of Wrestling, Seb. But I'm quite enjoying it, really. I don't get to watch it as much as I would like to, but when we do watch it, it was good. I enjoyed the Elimination Chamber. I like CM Punk. I think he's got a nice, decent story going on. Netflix
exciting.
Thing's been great for it, though.
Yeah, it's been brilliant just to turn it on and just be able to watch it straight away. I've applied for WrestleMania, so I'm waiting to see if I can go to that.
Where is it?
Vegas.
They're about to do European, aren't they? Because there's some in the UK.
Yeah, they're over at the end of March. So going to that, you know, they're in Nottingham. If you get yourself across there, I know you don't like going too far away from the house, but they're in Nottingham. Treat yourself.
What date is that?
20 something.
Be sold out now. They're always sold out.
No, it'd be all right. Put a word in for you. Oh. And TV-wise, we're on the fifth season of Yellowstone. And I watched a good film last night called The Gorge on Apple. Have you seen that?
The Gorge?
Yeah, it's with
spell
that
it.
G-O-U-R-G-E. It's Apple. It's Anna. It's Miles Teller and Anna Taylor something.
64% on Rotten Tomatoes. Could be good. Could be good.
Yeah, it's like...
Science
you've
fiction.
Go. It's not winning an Oscar. So if you know, like Niall, the producer, only asked, you know, watches those sort of criteria films, like, oh, you have to have an interval halfway through after 3 hours and come back for 3 hours. This is in your face, little bit.
I watched Bridget Jones in the cinema the other day.
Fucking hell.
What? You'd recognise it all. It's all in London. In London, aren't we? I stood up and said that and nobody got it. It was a packed cinema of people all over 30, mainly women. And I went, waited till they got on Hampstead Heath and I went, we're in London, aren't we? Nobody laughed.
Sit down, please, sir.
Wife said, just sit down. You've ruined it.
Pull your trousers back up.
I went, I played the game.
Didn't it, guys?
I can't speak. I can't speak, everyone. I'm not allowed to speak. Get him out. Who is he?
I want to see that Mikey 17 as well. That looks good.
It looks weird, but apparently it's really popular. I'll tell you what I watched last night. I'm going through some classics at the moment. I watched Mississippi Burning because Gene Hackman died.
Have you seen all the stuff around the Gene Hackman stuff?
Yeah, apparently he had Alzheimer's and then was in a house with his wife for a week.
Yeah.
She was dead.
Yeah.
I hope he didn't try anything.
In terms of what?
Well, I don't know what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is tragic, very good actor.
Yeah.
Just enjoy your life while you can, really, because you never know like where you're heading.
Did the dog die as well?
I don't know what are you trying to say?
No, I'm just saying I hope the dog wasn't left around for a week.
Yeah, there's a few jokes, but I'm not going down there.
No, wouldn't
let him do that. Good actor, some good films, Unforgiven, Crimson Tide.
Never
watched The French Connection. Yellowstone done. I've just started 1921. No, I'm already on. I've done 1923, second season I've started.
I couldn't believe that's Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren, isn't it?
Mm.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, this is a good one. Started playing football again and we go for a pint afterwards. And I went to the bar and they said, whenever anyone new joins, we have an initiation thing. I went, I'm not singing because the pub was packed. And they went, no, it's nothing like that. You've just got to come up with a woman over 60 that you'd do. I went, this is a bit sexist. They said, well, you know, this is it.
Man or woman.
That's what they said. And I said, Helen Mirren. And they were like, yeah, but you're thinking about Helen Mirren from like 20 years ago. I said, no, I've seen her on 1923. Someone Googled it and said she's actually nearly 80. And I went, well,
fair play.
She's over 60. But then someone said, I'm surprised you didn't go with Michelle Pfeiffer. And then for the next 10 minutes, basically everyone was playing the game.
But I bet for you now, 60, obviously 60 is not that far away for you, is it? So it's probably actually people.
Michelle Pfeiffer's 66. She's in.
So there's people that you're probably, you know, in a similar age bracket to.
But I always said, when you look at, I mean, she's dead now. So obviously I wouldn't do it. But Carrie Fisher towards the end.
Princess Leia.
Yeah. Towards the end, Carrie Fisher didn't look great. But if you think about, technically, it is the person who wore the bikini in Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Does age matter? Can you make Can't you make your mind go? Because if you can't, then you really are quite a shallow person who's just about looks.
Yeah, exactly. Also, very unnecessary bikini, that.
But brilliant writing. You know, you got to say.
I've still not watched the last Star Wars.
Watch the last trilogy. Terrible.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I've not watched the last film of the latest trilogy.
Don't waste your time.
No. Well, let's be honest. It won't be better than Tron Legacy. So what's the point?
Yeah.
And that's coming soon.
It's great to be back.
Yep.
Make sure everyone's giving us a follow and getting your comments in as well. Always like any other Bridgeness. And
what do you want to do next weekend? Because you know, it's got that honking kickoff next weekend, haven't they?
7 p.m. We'll have to just do it on a Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. That's it. International break, isn't it? Then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so I saw something as well. I was on about this the other day. You've got international break, so there'll be a weekend where there's no football, and then, but the next weekend, it's FA Cup.
Yeah.
So loads of people don't play again. So you get 2 weekends of no football if you're Man United.
Yeah.
But then they have got midweek. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Then again, if we get knocked out on Thursday, that's it anyway.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have F1 starting. The golf season's kicking off.
I'm looking forward to F1. I don't know whether it.
Oh, I'm doing Drive to Survive, actually. That's very good.
Just depends on whether the cars. If the cars are like they were at the end of last season, it'll be good. But if someone's got a quick car again, it's crap.
No, I think it will be good. Hamilton and the Ferrari, that's just something to grab onto to get that 8th world title.
Isn't the first race at like 4 o'clock in the morning, though?
Yeah, it's Australia. So just do what I do for the wrestling. Go, get up, don't go on your phone, watch the highlights. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And just enjoy being present. That's what I'd say.
Formula 1's good if it's competitive. That's what I'd say.
Hey, that's one in that. Remember how everyone in our space was absolutely going sick for F1 things? I mean, that there have been some good creators that have come out of it, but that mainstream approach definitely died quickly, didn't it?
I was doing watch-alongs for it.
Yeah. Did you do one for Abu Dhabi?
I don't know. When he lost. I did.
You messed up.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Anyway,
thanks everyone for listening. Thanks, Will.
Cheers, Mark.
We'll speak to you next week.
See ya.